17. We started here last week. We'll just go to that verse again. Doing a little series on a call to improvement. It says here in Job 17 and verse 9, "The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger." Now, a very similar passage is found over in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. Proverbs 4 and verse 18. "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Both of these verses intimate that if you are a child of God, there ought to be some progress made, improvement. And certainly that's something that every one of us ought to strive for. I don't want to stay the same. I want to get better in every area of my life. I don't want to be satisfied with the status quo and with mediocrity or comparing myself to others. I want to compare myself to the Lord, to His Word, to the standards that are set forth in the truth of the Word of God. That's how I want to progress. Now, last week we looked at five basic requirements for improvement. Just very quickly, you have to have a desire to grow. If the desire is not there, if you don't have that motivation, you're not going to grow. We also have to engage in self-examination. You have to look at yourself. Where can I improve? How can I improve? Thirdly, there has to be a willingness to change in those areas where you need to improve. Fourthly, we need a greater sense of urgency. We may not have very long to live. This may be your last year of life. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to accomplish in 2018. And then we need to set some workable goals. I can't set goals for you, but I have certain goals that I want to meet every year. I want to read my Bible through every year. I mean, to me, that ought to be one major goal that everybody has, is I'm going to read the Scriptures. Now, you may have a plan, you may do it. There's all kinds of scripture reading plans out there. You can download them off the internet. You can follow them. I just do something that's very simple to me. But do what fits you. I just read about a preacher today that he's going to read the book of Philippians every day of 2018 and the book of Genesis every month. And that's all scripture he's going to read beside his studies. And you say, well, why is he doing that? I don't know. But he ought to be an authority on Philippians by the end of the year. If he's read through that book 365 times. The point is, set some goals for yourself. Workable goals. Ways that you can improve. And tonight, we're going to deal with some realms of improvement. And we're going to start with what I think is the most important. And that is the core of your existence as a child of God, your spiritual life. You need to improve in the spiritual realm. When I talk about our spiritual life, I'm talking about our relationship with God. Our level of love, service, obedience, loyalty to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. All of us need to determine tonight that we're going to be faithful to our Lord, that He deserves first place in our lives. He deserves the very best that we have to offer. We ought to give Him the first fruits of our lives. I've got a verse. I hope I can remember it. It's in Deuteronomy where it talks about bringing your best to the Lord. And I should have written it down. Yeah, Deuteronomy 17:1. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or any evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord. The idea is this. You ought to bring forth the very best that you have to God. The best of your time. The best of your abilities ought to be devoted to the Lord. So let's determine to be faithful. And I think it starts out with a fresh, powerful study of the Word of God. I've gone to this verse so many times. I know that every December or January, you probably think I'm a broken record, but I'm going to take you back there because I want you to see how vital it is for you to be connected to God, His wisdom, and His Word. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, I do this, I did it with my other Bible, but notice some key words that you ought to underline as you look at these verses, or at least highlight. Verse 1, receive. Hide. Verse 2, incline. Apply. Verse 3, criest. Liftest up thy voice. Verse 4, seekest. Searchest. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand. What do every one of those descriptive words, what do they imply? That you are putting some earnest effort, some diligence into the study of God's Word. This is something that you feel as though your spiritual life depends upon. Your connection to the Word of truth, to the Word of God. He says, cry after it. Lift up your voice. Seek God with all of your heart. Incline your ear. You see, I fear that the reason we don't get a lot out of the Word of God is we don't put too much into it. We're just checking off devotional boxes that we did a certain amount that day when we ought to be searching and crying out and asking God to give us a greater understanding of His Word. You and I need to be more diligent. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What did Jesus pray in John 17, perhaps the holiest prayer recorded in all the Bible? 17:17. Sanctify them with thy truth, thy word is truth. You're not going to live a sanctified life. You're not going to improve unless you are in God's Word. You got to read it. This should be the most important reading material that you have in your possession. It ought to take the place of everything else. Set the newspaper aside, the internet aside, your email aside, the blogs aside, Field and Stream aside,
Hunter's Paradise aside, Macy's catalog aside, God's Word, number one. If you are going to improve, if you are going to grow,
how many times do you put other things before God's Word? I mean, do you really want to improve your knowledge, your understanding? Do you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of God? Do you want to memorize more Scripture and apply more of it to your life? Then prayer. Turn over to Psalm 42. And again, these are such simple principles. But I get convicted every time I read Psalm 42. In verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I want my prayer life to be more like this, where I have a sense of urgency, longing, delight to be at the throne room of grace, to talk to God directly, to pour out my heart before Him. And look at Acts chapter 4. Look at what happened with this first church as they were being persecuted. I'm always amazed by the God's power that was outpoured and how it was directly related to their urgency in prayer. It says, after they had prayed, there in Acts chapter 4, it says in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. As individuals and as a church, we ought to want to have great grace upon us. We want to have the power of God evident in our lives, and I believe that we've got to improve in prayer, in seeking God with earnest, effectual desires. The earnest, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How is your prayer life? Are prayers being answered? Yes, no, or maybe. They're always being answered. But do you see God's hand working in your life? We need to pray specifically. We need to pray earnestly. I really believe that's one of the reasons why America is in the shape that we're in. Why the world is in there. There's not, people aren't praying. We need to improve. How about witnessing? Now, I don't know if my pastor actually accomplished this, but I remember one year he took up the challenge of D.L. Moody. Now, D.L. Moody wasn't a Baptist. He's the one that started Moody Church in Chicago. But Moody did witness to everybody. And his goal, Moody's goal, was to witness to somebody every single day of the year. Either by handing out a tract, talking to somebody new about the Lord. Now I thought, how powerful would that be if you committed to hand out 365 tracts a year to different people? All right, let's be a little
a little less ambitious. Let's bring it down to 52. One a week. Where you commit to witness to somebody or invite them to church or talk to them about the Lord and hand them a tract at least one a week. Not just a preacher. I'm not your hired gun. I'm not the only one that ought to be witnessing in this church. What if every single one of us took up this challenge and began to try to reach a person a week? You say, well, what if they don't come? I've been knocking on doors for 37 years. I've seen very little outward results. But you know what? That's not my responsibility to bring results. I am required to sow the seed on every type of ground. Every type of hearer. Cast your bread upon the waters. The point I'm making is, if you're going to improve in witnessing, you've got to commit to it. And you really got to come out of your comfort zone. Do you realize that our world is increasingly becoming less and less personal? People hide behind Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, whatever else there is, LinkedIn, all these things. Very rarely do people actually talk to one another anymore face to face. When was the last time somebody that you didn't know asked you if you knew the Lord? When was the last time anybody's ever witnessed to you? I can tell you the last time for me is when the Jehovah's Witness came to my door. They weren't expecting what, when they knocked on my door, what they were going to get. In fact, they ain't been around for a few years. The point I'm making is, you got to determine to be a witness this year. Friends, family, strangers. Leave a track. Talk to somebody. Make yourself available. But we need to determine to grow. Look over at Matthew chapter 9. In verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's make that a matter of prayer this year. And as you're praying for God to send forth laborers to his harvest, why don't you pray for God to make you a laborer? You to be a witness. You to share your testimony. Share the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as the power of God unto salvation. Leaving it up to God, of course, to save sinners. But again, we're talking about your spiritual life. These are all components of your spiritual life. Are you growing in your relationship to God, in your prayer life, in your witness to the lost and to the world at large? You know, we live in one of the richest, perhaps the richest country in the world. Comparatively, everybody in this room tonight
is better off than probably one of the higher classes of people in Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq or Saudi Arabia. Part of that's due to their godless religion and the bondage that they live under. But we live in a land of abundance. And you know what we have allowed the government to do? Take the responsibility that we as believers and as a church and as a community of believers, we leave it all up to the government to help people out. Listen, we got to get better at this. We need to have more of a concern for souls. And if we're not able personally to do something, then I believe that we ought to help where we can. There's a lot of needs. Man, people are broken. Do you realize that we live in an area that is known as the overdose capital of the United States? People are broken by drugs and alcohol. Families are broken. People are homeless. And it's due to sin. There's got to be a way that you and I can be more aware and look out there and help in some way. Sometimes I fear that we live in our own little bubble. We hear about stories of addiction, drunkenness, wickedness, immorality, and we think, man, I'm glad I don't have nothing to do with that. But man, we need to pray for the protection on our children and our grandchildren. And I would like to think that you and I are taking some kind of an active part trying to stem the tide by way of gospel preaching, compassion, kindness. These are things we need to improve on in our spiritual life. Because I tell you what, one of our biggest problems is we're selfish. We're comfortable. I tell you what, you want to get real uncomfortable? Go out sometime. I remember we were knocking on doors in this trailer park. And I can almost guarantee you that 8 out of every 10 people in that trailer park were heroin addicts. No hope. Godless. Living in poverty. Their eyes were vacant. And I didn't even weep a tear. I didn't even have a tear to weep. I talked to them, and I shared the gospel with them, and I saw their little kids. We need to be more affected. Sometimes I think we get cold. We get indifferent. We get apathetic in our spiritual life. Part of growing and improving is asking God to take away some of those layers of callousness and coldness and apathy. Reading the Word, praying, witnessing, having your eyes open, being more compassionate. When I go to Huntington,
and I see all of the vice and the immorality, it just humbles my heart, because I know that were it not for the grace of God back in 1980, that I may be homeless today. Just a deadbeat drunkard or drug addict. And listen, it's a lot worse in 2018 than it was in 1980. And it's going to affect you one way or another. So let's pray that God will give us more concern for lost people. Now that's the spiritual life. I got one more point. Our thought life. We need to improve. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The blessed man meditates day and night on the Word of God. How often do we let our minds just go? We don't think deeply upon God. We don't control our thoughts like we ought to. We let them run free. And another thing is separation from things that are wicked and evil and unholy. All through the book of Proverbs, and I guess my favorite verse is in Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. I think a lot of separation depends on what you think about. One of the reasons why we're way too worldly, because our minds aren't right. The carnal mind is at enmity against God. To be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death, separation. I believe that I'm saved eternally. But I do believe that when I get out of sorts and I'm not walking in the light, it breaks fellowship with the Almighty. And a lot of it has to do with how we think. And how you think is determined in large part by what you're taking in, which goes right back to the Word of God and prayer. We'd be more burdened for sinners. We'd be more concerned for those that are in the throes of addiction and drunkenness and immorality, if we had our mind right. If we had our thought life right. What does the Lord want out of us? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You say, wow, you're really making me feel bad tonight. Hey, that's one way that you recognize that you need to improve. That you need to get out of your comfort zone. That you need to stretch and be more for the glory of God. Now next week,
I'm going to even get a little bit
more next, right where you live. We need to improve in the way we treat people, our interpersonal relationships. So we'll get on to that next week, God willing.
We're going to have our business meeting. Josh, you got the book